let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. All right? We'll try to read the Word of God and bring what the Lord has laid upon my heart. I want you to pray for Mrs. Tigg this morning, the loss of her mother, and keep that family in your prayers and upon your heart. God would continue to give them grace that they need. I can sympathize because I've lost my mother. And you only have one. That's all. And I tell you, you better love them and do for them while they're here. That's right. And it may take you down the road a few years to learn just how important a mother is in the life of a child. And they're a great deal more important than what some of you may think. Mama went down into the jaws of death to bring every one of us into this world. And we want to be certainly praying for that family that God would help them. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 1 again today, please. 1 Peter in chapter number 1 in your Bible. And First Peter chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 13. Peter said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and for the singing, for the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Thank God for a Bible that we have that's without error. Thank God that we can depend upon what you've given us as a revelation of God to man, enabling us to believe upon the Son of God that we might be saved. I thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of preaching out of this book. And I pray now that you would anoint me with that oil of gladness. And I pray that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd provide liberty in the church and help me, Father, to be a blessing to your people. Preach this great truth you've laid upon my heart. Help me to magnify the blessed name of the Son of God this morning. And that may souls come to know Christ today. May sinners be saved. And, Lord, may your people that are here today backslidden on God, may they get thoroughly right with God and lay it all on the altar of sacrifice, make things thoroughly right with God. And help us, I pray, to gird up the loins of our mind in doing so. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And for His sake we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read again this morning the portion of verse number 13, just the very first phrase out of that verse, where Brother Peter says, "Girding wherefore the things that I've already said," because of what has already been mentioned in this chapter, "wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." And this morning, I want to conclude or continue, I don't know if I'll conclude it or not, I assume I will, our thoughts on that phrase, girding up the loins of your mind. And preaching on the thought of let's pull ourselves together, or let's gird up the strength of our mind. Let's get our thoughts and our mind focused upon spiritual matters, upon Christ, setting our affection on things above and looking unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't want to preach last Tuesday night's message, but I do want to say that I fear that we have let our thought pattern stray from where it ought to be according to the Word of God. The psalmist said that he meditated upon the Word of God day and night. And I wonder if our thoughts during the day is upon the Word of God or the promises of the Bible, or if we've let our thoughts stray into some other area, being enticed or led astray by the world. I want to say again that this morning that if we'll gird up the loins of our mind, we'll have no problem with our spiritual priorities. I'm afraid that God's people have gotten their priorities all confused, really. And I preach this, and I'll stand with it, that if we'll set our affections upon the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him the center or the focus of our life, setting Him upon the throne of our heart and putting Him number one in our life in everything that we do, everything else will fall into place. You know why some of you and your families and your lives are so chaotic right now? Is because that your mind and your thoughts have strayed from Christ to other things, and you no longer have the loins of your mind girded up. I don't believe there's anything wrong with being a little old-fashioned. For the record this morning, I'm just a little bit old-fashioned. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Hall? I mean that I'm a little bit narrow-minded. I don't think there's anything wrong with being narrow-minded. That's right. We're too broad-minded, and if we get real broad-minded, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves walking in that broad way rather than in the narrow way that God intends for us to walk in. And so Peter said here, girding up the loins of your mind. And then he mentions basically five things down through these verses that I read that I want to deal with briefly this morning. Four of them are direct results of girding up the loins of our mind. And the fifth one is, I'll deal with it just briefly, but it is the negative aspect, or what happens if we fail to gird up the loins of our mind. And he said there, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Now, these things are a direct result of girding up the loins of our mind. In other words, be sober-minded. That's right. Don't be like a drunken man, but be sober-minded. Be in control of our thought pattern. Be in control of our thoughts. I'm going to tell you something. If you let your thoughts stray too far, they will eventually lead you into sin. Brother Steve talked about in Sunday school of a man that buried a butcher knife up to the hub in the back of his own 11-month-old child and then threw that baby out of the window. He said that the husband and wife had been arguing before that ever happened. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that baby suffered because of the thoughts that ran through that man's mind before he ever committed that atrocity. I'm going to tell you, men don't murder just off of the cuff. They murder because they think about it and it's premeditated in their mind. And people don't commit sin just off the cuff. It happens because we think about it in our mind rather than girding up the loins of our mind. You know why church members commit adultery? I'm going to tell you why. Because of the lust of their mind. We need to bring the lust of our mind into the law of Christ. Come on in the house now. Bring the lust of our mind into the law of Christ, and I'll guarantee you it'll cut down on a lot of sins in Baptist churches. I'm going to tell you why people whoremong. It's because their thoughts have been let loose. They've not girded up the loins of their mind. Now, I'm telling you, we're living in a generation of people that have wicked imaginations in their mind. Somebody say amen right there. Our minds, people's minds are full of wicked imaginations. You know how they come up with all of these filthy films that they make and all of this wicked, I don't really know how to describe it. I don't have a word for it. I'm talking about all these horror movies and all this mess that they make is because somebody has let their mind run wild and they're thinking on wicked imaginations and they're not focused on that Bible. Amen. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. They're discussing on the news about the Muslim religion and what role it's playing in the world. And to them, it's just a worldly matter that does not include Christianity. But I'm going to tell you what the Muslim religion is, and what's going on is a direct attack on the Lord Jesus Christ and the people of God. And I'm telling you, God's people better wake up to that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. The jihadists are not there just because they want to rule in Iraq. They want to rule in the world, friend. Come on in the house. And it is a religious thing that is going on, a direct attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the church and upon the people of God. And you better have the loins of your mind girded up and thinking on Him and be sober in your mind, or you're going to wind up a casualty in this war. By listening to me, I'm trying to preach to you. He said, be sober. A little bit of sobriety. I want to simply start out by asking this question. Who should be sober-minded? I'm going to tell you, I found out that the Lord didn't leave out anybody. That He covers all the bases. For instance, in Titus 2:2, He said that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience. In other words, us old codgers. That's what my daddy used to call old men, old codgers. Us old codgers that have gotten a little old. Just because we're old does not mean that our mind can run wild. We are to have spiritual thoughts. We are to be sound in faith, sound in doctrine, sound in charity, sound in patience. And the only way that'll ever happen is if we're sober-minded, amen, amen, and have a rational mind thinking on those things that are right. So us old codgers ought to be sober-minded. And I want to say secondly, very hurriedly, not only us old men, but the young men. You young fellas in here, God have mercy on some of you. Titus 2:6, young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. Another, hey, come on in the house. To be sober minded, young men. Not having your mind on running around and girls and cars and this, but on the Lord. Amen. I know how you, I was a teenager one time, and I know exactly how teenagers think. They think that the old folks are old fogies. Don't know what they're talking about, but I've been down the road a little ways. Now I'm telling you, the road that some young people today are traveling is a dead-end street, ladies and gentlemen. And at the dead end, at the end of that street, I'm telling you, there is a horrifying end at that street unless you're walking with Almighty God. Amen. That's right. I know some young men that got involved in things they oughtn't to. 16-year-old boy back in the late 70s. They found him in the Hendryville State Forestry, still tied up with a rope to his legs and his feet, and he'd been tied to the back end of an automobile and drugged to death. You know why? Because he just saw something that he wasn't supposed to see. He just saw a little drug deal that he was not supposed to see, and it involved some real elite folk in Clark County, Indiana. And that boy, hey, and by the way, they drug him until he died. He wasn't even dead, but they laid him downhill knowing that his blood would run to his head, he couldn't get up, and that he'd lay there and die a horrifying death, and he did. Now I'm telling you, that young man was in a place where he ought not to be, and I'm telling you, are you listening to me, that young men are to be sober-minded. Notice what the Bible says, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, when? Whoa, there's one little phrase. When I became a man. He said, I put away childish things. That is, it's time to be sober-minded. Put away some of this foolishness. You want me to name some of it? Computer games. Telephone games. Come on in the house. Goofing off and this. Come on now, I've been there. And especially if you become a man and you're married, it is time to take the responsibility of being a husband and possibly a daddy, ladies and gentlemen, and be sober-minded about it and realize that there is a family there to raise and they're to be raised in the house of God. I'm here to tell you, some of our people, they're mad, they're not sober-minded, they're not thinking like, they're thinking like a drunken man, thinking that they can hobnob on God and still have the power and the blessings of God on their life, and you can't have it. You cannot have it. I'm going to tell somebody else. I'll give you men a break. You old women. Ought to be sober-minded.
Amen.
Timothy said in 1 Timothy 2:9, he said, in like manner the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And Titus said, Paul said in Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I wonder how many of our older ladies in here could be teachers of good things. That we're sober-minded enough, and we've studied that Bible and read that Bible. Brother Steve brought that out in Sunday school, by the way. I'm going to tell you one reason we're not sober-minded. We're not studying our Bible.
Amen.
If I pass the sheet around with all the doctrines of grace, I wonder how you would fill it in. If I passed around and started out with grace and faith and justification and holiness, and redemption, and I could go on and on. I wonder how much space you could fill in on some of those doctrines of grace. Love, mercy, how much could you fill? Come on in the house. Could you be a teacher of good things? That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about teaching good things out of that book right there. Come on in the house now. I'm going to tell you what we've got. Come on now. We've got hearers of the Word of God, but they don't want to be doers of the Word of God. Aged women are to be sober. Aged men are to be sober. Us old codgers are to be sober. But do you know what? Young women are to be sober-minded too. That they may teach the young women to be sober. To love their husbands, to love their children. Now I want to ask you something. If older women are not sober-minded, if mommies and daddies are not sober-minded, how in heaven's name can they teach their daughters and their sons to gird up the loins of their mind, get their focus in life in the right area, and live for God? If mom and daddy can't do it, they certainly don't know how to teach their children to do it. Is anybody listening? I'm going to ask something this morning. Do your children matter to you?
Amen.
Your grandchildren matter to you?
Amen.
Mine do.
Sir.
Now, I'm going to get back to my text in a minute. You just hang right with me. So, I want to say number one, and I'm just hurrying. Because we got our meeting up at the nursing home. To be sober-minded, there must be spiritual control. You cannot be like a drunken person. You've got to be in control of your thinking. That's come on in the house now. I want to read a verse of scripture to you in Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I believe that is applicable in exactly what I'm saying. If there is no rule, if there is no control over our mind and what we're thinking upon, we are like a city that has no walls of protection about it. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what's wrong in Island Ford Baptist Church. We have made ourselves vulnerable to the devil, and we've made ourselves vulnerable to the flesh, and we've made ourselves vulnerable to the world because we've let our minds and our thoughts just get flabby and real loose. I mean, just flabby. I'm going to tell you something. You can't saddle something like that.
Amen.
You all know the story.
Amen.
We used to have an old horse. His name was Old Smokey. And buddy, I'm telling you, every time you'd put a saddle on him, you'd ride him for maybe 10 minutes, and all at once that saddle would be loose on him. And my brother kept saying, what in the world is the problem? I'm cinching him up as tight as I can. And I ride him and the saddle gets loose. So he watched him one day and he went to gird him up and that old horse stuck that belly out. Well, you die, Lord, and my brother tied it in as tight as he could, rode him a little bit and he got loose. So he told us, he said, tomorrow I'm going to fix that horse. He throwed that saddle upon him and he throwed that stomach out, and we called him Mater. Old Mater took that right knee and said, ooh, no smoke. He said, ooh. And when he sucked her in, whop, he drew that girdle in on him tight. You know what he done? He girded him up, friend. He girded him up. He wasn't letting that belly hang out there loose. He girded him up. That's exactly what Paul's saying. Gird up the loins of your mind. The strength of, your mind, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace in the Lord. Come on in the house. I wonder where our minds are. Are they girded up and are they spiritually? Are we spiritually minded today? Praise God.
Amen.
Folks, and I know some folks miss church, but some lay out. I'm talking about priorities.
Amen.
Is the house of God a priority to you?
Amen.
Is Sunday school and preaching a priority to you? If they're not, your mind, the loins of your mind is not girded up. Is serving God a priority in your life? Or is it secondary? Come on in the house, praise God. We ain't shouting, but I didn't expect it. Now, I want to say secondly. I've already mentioned it, but I'll say it anyway. We need to be steadfast in our commitment. Gird up the loins of your mind. How can we gird them up if we're not steadfast in our commitment? Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I wonder if we have committed our way unto God. Or if we're trying to run the show. We're trying to make the decision. See, that's the problem. Where our mind is trying to make decisions for us rather than making our decisions based upon what thus saith the Word of God. Oh, to the world today, we know better than what God knows. I know what's best for my life, but I'm telling you, God knows what is best for your life. Anybody listening? God knows what's best for you. Amen. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, stand fast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I've got to praise some of our ladies. And even some of our men. I walked into that front room up there the other day, and it looked like they had an assembly line going on. There was old Brother Steve standing in there making up Miss Hall's books for the ladies' meeting. And I said, why are you doing this? He said, I just wanted to do it. I told him the next day, I said, Miss Hall told me to tell you, next time she makes up baskets for the ladies and gifts, she's going to include Brother Steve in that. But I walked in there with several ladies up there putting those books together, helping Miss Hawk. Ain't that the right thing to be doing in the work of the ministry?
Amen.
Our lady's brought food to the Tink family when she lost her mind. Ain't that the right thing to do? They're girding up the loins of her mind doing right. There's ladies in this church that is carrying my wife's sheets and my wife's drapes and curtains and everything to the house, doing them, hanging them out, airing, washing them, airing them out on the line, bringing them back. Hey, I'm just saying, we had ladies during our last meeting that done decoration work and ladies that made this and done that and ladies that clean and do this and do that. Somebody said, does that make a difference? Oh, yes!
I want to
show you something. Somebody said, does cleaning the church make a difference? If you'd have walked in that prophet's chamber back there last night, Brother Andy and I, you'd seen how much a difference it makes.
Amen.
Our last family that stayed back there, that was just probably an accident. I'm not talking about the Robs. I'm talking about the traveling through missionaries that said they were missionaries out of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. I'm telling you what, folks. You walk back there and smell the bed linens. I'm afraid somebody regurgitated all over everything. It was bad, Brother Andy. Was it bad? It's bad. Brother Andy said this would be a good place for a stick up. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying things like that matter. They matter, being focused on God and what's going on here. Somebody said, what about my home life? You can't have a right home life if you don't have a right church life.
Amen.
And you can't have a right relation with anybody if you don't have a right relationship with God. Oh, you may think you've got a good relationship with folks, but you'll find out that relationship ain't quite as good as you think it is, buddy, when the rubber meets the road. That's right. You better. I'm going to tell you, a right relationship with God keep down a lot of church splits. Keep a lot of folks from dropping out of the house of God. See, their loins of their mind not girded up. Come on now. Steadfast in commitment. Are we really committed today? I want to say thirdly, self-correction. Don't wait on the Lord to chasten us. When we've been warned or admonished, our sin has been revealed to us. Right then,
amen,
is the time to deal with it. Correcting ourselves. I'm going to be honest with you. If we'd correct ourselves, we'd have a whole lot less chastening in our life. And I believe what a lot of folks are experiencing today that are truly saved is God's chastening hand in their life.
Amen.
I'm going to say this to you. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the money in the world and still not be happy.
Amen.
You can have the finest mansion in the world and not be happy. People like that never get enough. I lifted up my computer last night to Fox News and the headline there, a little video clip. I clipped on it. They had found $205 million American dollars in one home in Mexico. Biggest drug bust ever been made. $205 million. It showed stacks of it. I'm talking about rows and stacks of $100 bills. You know what they're doing with it? They was buying products to make meth with to ship to America. I'm talking about $205 million. You know what? I bet at one time they didn't have over $100,000. Maybe $10,000. That didn't make them happy. That didn't make them happy. And some folks ain't making money. Will make their home right and their life right. I'm going to tell you what will make your home right and your life right is serving God come hell or high water, serving God and being at the church house when we're supposed to be in the church house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I won't charge anything for that. That's free.
Amen.
Now, notice the second thing that he mentions. It'll get a little better here. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind by doing what? By being sober. And secondly, hoping to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that second word I want to deal with is hope. Woo-hoo! It'll get better now, praise God. Thank God for hope. Amen. I'm glad I got a blessed hope this morning. And it is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Bob and I were just talking about that this morning. There's a man somewhere standing in the shadows, and it ain't Jesus. Now I'm telling you, he's getting ready to step out and say, I got the answer to all your problems.
Amen.
And thank God, ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, amen, there's going to be a trumpet sound. Yes, sir, and that crowd that's went on before us in the grave is going to get up. Hallelujah to God. Hey, man, thank God, and shake the dust off their mousetraps. Amen. Those of us that are alive and remain are going to be caught up. That is a blessed hope. Do you have that blessed hope? He said, hope unto the end. Hope unto the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You think you've had only God's grace you can experience? He giveth more grace, friend. There's living grace, loving grace, dying grace, all kind of grace, growing grace. Woo! I don't want to forget saving grace. Hallelujah. Spirit-filled grace, all kind of grace. Unmerited favor. I was praying last night. I said, Lord, I'm just telling you, and you already know, we don't deserve another visitation from God. We all ought to be cut off and sent to hell for the way we've acted. But God, would you show grace? We don't deserve it, Lord, but would you show just a little grace? Hallelujah. Anybody got any hope in here? Hope is a grace of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Worked in people. And it is an unmistakable, practical power that's given to the people of God.
Amen.
I said an unmistakable, practical. Hey, Christian, hope is the Christian attitude of the soul in relation to the future.
Amen.
In relation to the future. Is your future bright? Or is it dismal and dim? I looked around this morning. There wasn't many folks. We had a lot of folk out. We've got several people here, but had a lot of folks gone. There for a moment, my heart kind of sunk. But then hope kicked in gear. Now look to the future. Now, I had to thank God that this is not the end. Hey, this is not the end.
Amen.
I ought to hope to the end, but today's not the end.
Amen.
It may not end tomorrow, and it may not end day after tomorrow. But I want to be hoping when the end rolls around, friend.
Amen.
And you will if you get your mind off of today and put it on the future.
Amen.
And not just tomorrow. Look way out in the future.
Amen.
Way out in the future. And listen carefully. Faith can be contrasted and compared to... hope can be contrasted and compared to faith. Listen carefully. Faith is concerned with the person of Christ. Thank God for Jesus. But hope is concerned with the things of Christ. Stay right with me. Hope fixes itself upon the promiser. Faith fixes itself upon the promiser. Hope sets itself upon the thing promised. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you got any hope in a promise?
Amen.
Thank God the promiser made us a promise. And we have got faith in the promiser. But oh, hallelujah, I've got hope in the promise.
Amen.
Let not your hearts be troubled, he said. Neither be afraid.
Amen.
You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
Hey, there's the faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's the faith.
Amen.
Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's the promise. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
What a promise. And if I go, I shall come again. What a promise. To receive you unto myself. What a promise. So our faith is in the promise, but our hope. Our faith is in the promiser, but our hope is in the thing promised. You got any hope in most things today? I can tell by looking at some of y'all's faces. If you've got any hope, it's highly concealed. Now, stay right with me. Faith looks upward. Hope looks onward. Faith appropriates. Hope anticipates. Are you anticipating anything at all spiritually in your life? You people in here that's got lost children, you really anticipate or expect them to be saved?
Amen.
You have any hope that God will settle in on this place and save them? You have any hope in the promiser, or faith in the promiser, that He'll settle in on this place?
Amen.
And hope in the future that your children will be saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
You know as well as I do, there's some of them here lost, and some of them here that are teenagers and know that they're lost.
Amen.
And for whatever reason, they won't yield to God, I do not know. But I'm here to tell you it's a dangerous thing to have faith brought to you in the person of Christ and anticipate the promise out there and then turn and reject God. It's a dangerous thing.
Amen.
To reject the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God that will cut you off, friend. Amen. Oh, we've been told today by these smooth-tongued, egg-sucking devils that God's just lovey-dovey and this and that, and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, the Bible disputes that all the way through it, friend.
Amen.
He has even created the wicked for the day of evil.
Amen.
Therefore, you better make your calling and election sure, friend.
Amen.
We're not playing today. We're not playing hide-and-go-seek, and we're not playing computer games, and we're not playing camera games, and we're not playing email, and we're not playing pictures. We're talking about reality. And you better gird up the loins of your mind and realize that a sinner dies outside of God. They go to hell without God and without hope. Now, I'm telling you, it's like a little boy, Brother Mike's little boy, you say, liars will be friars, Ben. It's a place where the worm, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Hell's real!
Amen.
I don't know if you still got it or not, Miss Sue. Now, I don't know if Ricky still got it. You remember a message I preached 2 years ago on hell ain't no laughing matter? And you took the tape, you said, I want a copy of that. And I believe you took it and gave it to Brother Ricky. I don't know if he ever listened to it or not. That's before he got saved. Now, I'm telling you, friend, hell ain't no laughing matter.
Amen.
You better believe right now if Dives could get out, he'd come out.
Amen.
This old self, well, I'm just going to go to hell. They'd bury him with beer cans and liquor bottles and everything else and singing tapes. And one thing, we're going to have a good time when we get down to hell. Yeah, ain't no good time in hell.
Amen.
It's time we girded up the loins of our mind and realize hell's reality.
Amen.
And grace is available. And Christ died, and your faith in Christ and the promise that He's made to you will give you a hope unto the end, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
For the grace that is to be revealed.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God, what grace.
Yes.
Is anybody listening this morning?
Yes.
Now, that hope. Hope, therefore, is occupied with the future. And centers itself on the coming of Christ. Its immediate expectation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you expecting Him to come? John said, if we have this hope in Him, whosoever has this hope in Him will purify himself even as He is pure. Are you purifying yourself? Are you looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior? May I say to you today, it's a continuing hope.
Amen.
Hope unto the end.
Amen.
Well, I'll just relax and lay back and Let thing, after all, once saved, always saved. With that attitude, never saved and never saved.
Amen.
If your attitude today is, well, I'm saved, praise God, I'll just let everything roll by and go on in, then you never got what I've got.
Amen.
You, that's right.
Amen.
I'm talking about continuing hope. Hope unto the end. No intermissions, no divisions, no time off, no vacation in hope.
Amen.
It's unto the end.
Yes.
Unto the end.
Amen.
Continuing hope. I've been praying for revival since 1979, 1980. For real revival. And I'm still hoping for it. You know how I know I'm hoping? Because I'm praying.
Amen.
If we're hoping in something, we'll probably pray for it.
Amen.
My children made professions of faith. I had prayed for them. And why I had on that old orange ottoman. And why I had it because I had a hope that God would save them. And I've seen them all profess I trust they're in.
Amen.
They're all in church, living for God. I trust they're in. But I'm talking about a continuing hope, folks.
Amen.
Unto the end. Listen very carefully. I'll try to hurry and we'll get out of here. It ought to be a comforting hope. When he talks about the second coming of Christ in the clouds, not really a second advent to the earth, but the rapture of the church. In chapter 4, verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that hope unto the end ought to be a comforting hope. Amen. Praise God, I'm telling you, I find comfort when I know He may come tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the world is not a fit place to live in anymore. Amen. If you're a child of God,
Amen.
It's an unfit, unclean, unhealthy environment everywhere you go. And if you feel at home here, you don't have what I have.
Amen.
God help us. I've never seen so much of a mess going on, and Democrats and Republicans are fighting one another in Washington like cats and dogs fighting one another in the state. I mean, they can't agree on, they're not going to help nothing. Every time you look at a vote, buddy, she's right down the party lines. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying nobody is working together to get nothing done.
Amen.
Reminds me of a lot of Baptist churches. If you ain't got some continuity there, working together, you're not going to get much done. Now, I'm not talking about compromising our position. But under the Lord, you'd think that somehow that these intelligent men and women that have degrees, amen, from law schools today, could sit down and with a rational mind find a solution to the problems of America.
Amen.
But I've seen nobody do it, but there's going to be a fellow step out one of these days and say, I'll tell you how to do it. And they're going to say, praise God, tell us. And he's going to tell them everything they want to hear. And they're going to say, well, maybe you need to get at the helm of this thing. Maybe you need to run this thing. Get at the helm of it.
Amen.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to do exactly that. Boy, everything's going to settle down and be fine. For 3.5 years.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when that 3.5 years is over, it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble and all. Well, I won't say that word using it that way. It's going to break loose, friend. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock some of you. You're going to think I'm a fool. But I'm not so sure that Al Gore's not right on global warming. You're going to say, well, you're crazy. Have you not read the book of the Revelation where it says it's going to be so hot that they'll gnaw their tongues for pain?
Amen.
And yet they will not repent.
Amen.
Something is going to change the atmosphere of this world, friend.
There's a heat wave moving in from somewhere that will cause men so much pain they'll gnaw their tongues because of it.
Amen.
I'm not saying I'd vote for him, but that may be right. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, it's a carpenter's hope. You say, you're crazy in a bed bug. No. He said, hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Last time I looked in the Bible, Jesus was the son of a carpenter.
Amen.
And get this, he must still be a carpenter. He's a carpenter on earth, and he said in the book of John, I go to prepare a place for you. So he's building something else. We must still be a carpenter. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Have you got hope in the carpenter?
Amen.
Have you got hope this morning in the Son of the living God?
Amen.
Have you got hope that He's coming back?
Yes.
Amen. And not like the Antichrist. When He comes back, it won't be a phony peace. Praise God, it'll be a holy peace.
Amen.
Amen. That lamb and lion will lay down together, and these little youngins. We'll come in here, and Brother Hall will get to preaching and firing off one. Some lion will come walking in, lay down up here. These little kids just get up here and sit down like it's a pussycat and rub around on his long hair. We won't have to worry about nothing. Stand up here and rip one out for about 4 or 5 hours. It won't bother you a bit. You'll want more.
Amen.
At that time, the Bible said His power will make you willing.
Amen.
What does that say? Make us willing. I'm going to tell you something. In the tribulation period, the Bible said He'll rule and reign with a rod of iron. Do you think everybody is just going to love Him and love us? No. He's going to rule with a rod of iron.
Amen.
Yeah, there may be some try to get out from under that rule. But He'll keep peace. Because He is peace.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Thank God! I've got a hope in the Jesus of Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. Came into this world. Died on Calvary's tree. That old drunks like me might get saved. Born again. From the bar stool, hallelujah to God, to the church chair. From the mind to the choir. Amen. Into the pulpit. Who never thought that old drunken Gary Hall would ever be a preacher man?
Amen.
My wife, Daddy told her, said, son, honey, don't mind. Said, oh, you want that new car he's got? Said, if you just forget him, I'll buy you any kind of a car you want. Said, he ain't nothing. Said, his daddy's been a drunk all of his life, and that's all he'll ever be, is a drunk. And who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thought it, Brother Leroy? Here I am telling this little crowd today and whoever's listening by radio that Jesus saved, Jesus saved, hallelujah. Watched it on the rolling tide. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. And everybody in here could stand up if you're saved and say, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Hallelujah to God. I've got faith and hope in the carpenter, the Son of God. Amen.
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 I won't say it's a consummating hope. The hope for the grace of God that shall be revealed in the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of these days He's going to come back and pull back the veil.
Yes. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
He say amen. Amen, John. Help me out a little bit. This crowd's dead, son. Many of you have candy. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
He's going to come back and say, here I am. In all of my glory. Riding a white horse. Somebody said, do you believe there's animals in heaven? I know there's horses. There might be other animals up there. I don't know, but I know there's horses. That's a fact.
Amen.
He's coming back. He's going to be leading the flock.
Amen.
And there we are going to be on white horses. Coming along behind him. Somebody said, we'll be pretty tough in that day. Oh, we won't be tough. He'll just take the two-edged sword that's in his mouth. Take care of the job, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize all he's got to do is speak one word and every soul in this world would drop dead immediately? Oh, what power. What power.
Son, he will conquer the world with the word of his power.
Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Sang that song long ago. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song has ceased to be. I hope our song has not ceased. Surely we're not down with the rivers of Babylon. I hope we haven't hanged our harps on the willows. Praise God, I'm hoping in Him. He's coming back to reveal all of His power, all of His glory, all of His majesty.
Amen.
Praise God, and the world will fall down at His feet and exclaim the same thing they did on Carmel. The Lord, He is God.
Amen.
And it's not Allah.
Amen.
That crowd over there said they didn't want to destroy the Dome of the Mosque because that's where Allah ascended back to heaven from. Allah ain't ascended nowhere but into hell. I'm going to tell you who ascended back to heaven. Jesus.
Amen.
And this same Jesus that you've seen taken up from you shall come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. Hallelujah to God. In the clouds, the glory's coming back.
Amen.
And what grace will be revealed? Somebody said, now what grace will be revealed at His coming? Friend, if you don't know that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. These old bodies... He's going to lay down this old flesh and blood, and this old clay is going to be transformed into an incorruptible spiritual body.
Amen.
What grace? We haven't really seen a lot of grace yet.
Amen.
Grace to save is wonderful. But grace at the second coming, friend.
Whew.
And we slip out of these bodies that have ached and pained and hurt, brought us grief and sorrow, trouble. And I'd say there's probably not a person in here that's not suffering some way, either in physically, in the mind, with grief I'm referring to, sorrow of mind, grief of mind, broken heart. All that's going to be wiped away, friend. Old Brother Leroy back there can't see. Jesus gave him spiritual eyes to see the cross. But there's going to come a day, Brother Leroy's going to get eyes that he can see with. Glorified eyes. Glory! What glory! What grace! For we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. Amen. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And death, at His revelation, death shall be swallowed up in life.
Amen.
You're talking about victory. Praise God, we can strut our stuff and glorify Him.
Amen.
It's not of nothing we have done. It's all of Him. I tell you, everybody in here ought to be on their face on the altar, worshiping, glorifying, magnifying the Son of God.
Amen.
He delivered you from death. And doth deliver. In whom we trust, He shall yet deliver. That means He delivered us. He is delivering us. And He'll deliver us yet. Got any hope in him?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to just mention this word. Obedient. As obedient children. Now, I want to read this in the context. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. Now, I want to say three things. That word, obedient, means to hear under as a subordinate. In other words, we listen to the superior whom we are subordinate to. If you never bowed your knee to Christ, you'll never hear Him. We are to bow our knee as a subordinate. We are to listen. Psalm 27:8, David said, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's obedience. He didn't tarry. He didn't wait. He listened. He heard. He done.
Amen.
Then we're to learn. Psalm 119:33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." And then we live it. Or whether we live under the Lord. Whether we die under the Lord. Woo! Wherefore, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord.
Amen.
And Brother Steve sat back there the other day. Brother Steve said, "Preacher," Spurgeon said he wanted to go over the grave. He said, "Brother Steve said, you know, I like going alive and remaining. But you know something? I really would too. But whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's." Amen! Thank God.
Amen.
So the grave will be all right. That's what He wants.
Amen.
Now, here's what I wanted to share with you. Then we got to that word holy. And between holy is a statement. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy. Now, between obedient and holy is that statement. That tells me, come on and listen, I'm done now. That tells me that obedience and holiness are joined together. They are not, let me have that word is. They are both one and the same word, but only as they stand in contrast to the only negative portion in this verse. So to be obedient and to be holy means that we're not fashioning ourselves after the former lust in ignorance. But if we're disobedient, then we are not holy. And if we're disobedient, I'm going to tell you what we're doing. You know what it means to fashion? What Peter's saying there is, if you're not obedient and you're not holy, what you're doing is really in your heart, you're just fashioning yourself after your former lust, after your old sinful life, just the way you used to be. Oh, Brother Hall, I'm sitting on a church pew. It's not where you sit.
Amen.
It's what's in your heart.
Amen.
Now, I've seen people sit on church pews and be as wicked as Satan himself.
Amen.
Criticize the preacher, talk behind his back. And I'm going to tell you something. And folks, they always find somebody to do this. And give them a listening ear. You know what they're doing? They're fashioning that heart to the former lust. And don't have enough sense to know it. I'm telling you, folks, we're dealing with some spiritual matters that people today have not studied their Bible. And they don't really understand fully what's going on in their heart and life. But that's what basically Peter's telling you. Gird up the loins of your mind so you will know what's going on in your heart and in your life.
Amen.
Let her loose. Let her off. As we used to have an old boy named David Beswick. Old David walk up and down the road. He thought he was Elvis Presley Jr. had some words and things, and one of his favorite sayings was, "Let her all hang out." In other words, just loosen up, do, you know, just let her, let the good times roll. You can do that if you want to. But I don't believe you can be obedient doing that.
Amen.
And I don't believe you can be holy doing that. And if you're not being obedient and holy, you're in contrast to both of them, which is fashioning yourselves after the former lust. And it's in, get now, get it, because I know I'm right when I say this. Peter said, in your ignorance.
Amen.
Ignorant, don't know what you're doing. Do you know? Have you got your mind, loins of your mind girded up? Are you sober? Are you hoping? Are you obedient? Are you holy? Or are you sitting on a church pew and letting your mind, heart, be conformed to your former lust? In ignorance doing it. Let's stand together.